الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention to grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue بإذن الله عز وجل with the book of كشف الشبهات, removing the doubts concerning Tawheed. And the last ayah that we dealt with was the statement of Allah جل جلاله وتقدست أسماؤه ولا يأتونك بمثل إلا جئناك بالحق وأحسن تفسيرا. And they do not present to you a similitude except that we will give you the truth and better explanation. And we said that Mufassireen, those who interpret the meaning of the Qur'an, they said that this particular verse is applicable until the day of judgment. Anyone who produces any falsehood, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in the Qur'an an answer to any misconception, any fabrication, any lie, whether it is dealt with specifically or through general guidelines. For instance, smoking. Okay, some people will tell you that smoking is halal or makruh. It's makruh, so you shouldn't smoke. It's this disliked. And then, you know, this is a similitude. They say, well, you know, it's only bad smell. So usually things with bad smell is makruh in Islam. But Allah has placed in the Quran a reputation for that as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, when he described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَيُحِلُّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. And this is the foundation in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes lawful for them, the ummah, that which is good, الطَّيِّبَاتِ. Anything that is طَيِّب, that is good, is made lawful for us. وَيُحَرِّمُ, pay attention to the wording now, وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ, and he makes prohibited upon them الْخَبَائِثِ. You ask anyone, smoker or non-smoker, if you wanted to label the cigarette under one of these two categories, the طيبات or the خبائث, where does it fall? The smoker himself will tell you, it's from the خبائث, it's from the evil things, from the bad things, bad. The content is what? Nicotine, you know, different the tobacco, chemicals, very, very destructive material in the cigarette. So much so that they put on the side of the pack, you know, a danger, you know, danger, be careful, smoking causes cancer, you know, you may die. Imagine if you went to the store to buy a bottle of water, and it says on it, you know, be careful, you know, drinking this water may get you killed. No one will buy the water. Say, I don't want to drink water anymore, I'll just drink juice. If this is going to kill me, so people know, they see this and they buy them back and they smoke. And they say, well, it's makruh. So we say this is the similitude that they strike, and Allah put in the Quran a foundation. Anything that is harmful to you is khabeen, then the Prophet ﷺ, يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ ذَلِكَ, يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمْ الْخَبَائِثِ. This is just an example, otherwise there's more elaboration. But going back to our subject matter, and it's going to get very hot now, because this is really the fine point between the Tawheed and the Shirk. And this is how the refutation will initiate, in two different ways. It says here, وَأَنَا أَذْكُرُ لَكَ أَشْيَاءَ مِمَّا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ جَوَابًا لِكَلَامِ احْتَجَّ بِهِ الْمُشْرِكُونَ فِي زَمَانِنَا عَلَيْنَا فَنَقُولْ جَوَابُ أَهْلِ الْبَاطِلِ مِنْ طَرِيقَيْنِ. He says, I will mention to you some things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in his books, in his book, as a response to what some of the mushrikeen are using as an evidence or a proof in this day and time. Some of the speech that they use as evidence for their case, Allah has mentioned something in the Quran concerning that to reply to them. And he said, verily, the response to the people of falsehood is in two different ways. Now you pay attention here. It's in two different ways. عام, عليكم السلام, عفوا, مجمل, ومفصل.
traffic today, huh? You need to get a policeman or something.
مجمل ومفصل. مجمل general. مفصل detail, specific. So when you come across someone, you know, who goes around these graveyards or, you know, goes to the so-called awliya and he seeks, you know, intercession with them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He seeks intercession through them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you don't know how to deal with them. There are two ways. A general way that is a foundation, and then there's a specific way that will help you even more. But let's deal with the easier one, which is al-mujmal. أما المجمل فهو الأمر العظيم والفائدة الكبيرة لمن عقلها وذلك قوله تعالى هو الذي أنزل عليك الكتاب منه آيات محكمات هن أم الكتاب وأخر متشابهات فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. This آيات in سورة آل عمران verse 7. You must memorize this one. And this actually ayah is used in every misconception about Islam. If you want to give da'wah to Islam, to the non-Muslims, this is a fundamental verse for you to know. If some among the Muslims have a misconception, this is another fundamental verse that you must know. What does the ayah say? It says, regarding the general response, verily it is the tremendous great affair, and it is this great benefit for the one who understands. And it is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is He who sent down the book upon you, which is who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is He, Allah, who sent down the book upon you. Minhu ayatun muhkamat. In it, there are verses that are entirely clear. Verses that are entirely clear, decisive. يعني there's no doubt in them. They cannot be interpreted in two ways. There's only one way to interpret them. وأخر متشابهات. And other ayat that are ambiguous, meaning they are not entirely clear. They may carry more than one meaning. So this is how Allah made the Quran. Ayat that are clear, and these are hunna umul kitab. These are the means the mother. These are the mother of the book, meaning the foundation. When the Arabs back then, when they say the umul shay, the mother of the thing, meaning this is the foundation on which you build the rest of the construction. So these ayat are the foundation of the book, the ones that are entirely clear, and the other ones that may carry more than one meaning. Now, who deals with them? فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْدٍ. As for those who have deviance in their hearts, the people with sickness or deviance in their heart, they will seek these ayat, the ones that may carry more than one meaning, the ones that are ambiguous. ابْتِغَاءَ الْفِتْنَةِ, seeking trial and polytheism. They try to get shirk from the very ayat of the Qur'an. وَابْتِغَاءَ تَأْوِيلَةِ, and then seeking the interpretation of it according to their desires. This is their methodology. وَقَدْ صَحَّ عَنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. And it has been authentically attributed to the Prophet ﷺ in Bukhari and Muslim that he said, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ مَا تَشَابَهَ مِنْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ سَمَّ اللَّهُ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, commenting on this ayah, if you see those who follow the ayat that are ambiguous, then it is those whom Allah has named, meaning in that ayah of the Quran, فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ, beware of them. Now Prophet ﷺ warned us, beware of those individuals who will get some ayat from the Qur'an that may carry more than one meaning and say, this is it. This is what Allah is trying to teach. And they do not refer them to the foundations. They do not refer, for example, a classical example used by the non-Muslims, which is the expression, inna nahnu. Allah says about Himself, Azza wa Jal, we. And so a Christian will tell you, hey, this is exactly what we see, what we believe. The God, the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, these are three gods in one. So even in your Quran, huh, it says we. So there's more than one God. Right? And now that ayah, nahnu, or anyone that anytime it comes in the plural, we know this may be interpreted in a number of ways. Linguistically, we know this is called the jama', the plural of royalty. Not the plural of numbers, because in the Arabic language and even in the English language, there's a plural of numbers and plural of royalty. For example, the queen will say, we the queen decree that you should do such and such and such. And she's speaking about herself. The queen of Britain, when she speaks about herself, she says, we. And in the Arabic language, this is the same thing. So here, this we is not the we of numbers. It is the royal we. That is a mutashabih. It's an ayah that needs further interpretation. What would be the foundation here? Anyone? If a Christian brought this misconception, said the Quran says we, and we know that this is from the ayat mutashabihat, how can we take him back to the ayat al-muhkamat? Who can give me an ayah that will clear this nonsense? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. That's it. Subhanallah. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say it is Allah, the one who is unique. Can this be interpreted in more than one way? No. It's from the Ummul Kitab. This is from the foundations of the book. It's a clear ayah, entirely clear. Cannot be interpreted in more than one way. So we say, listen, you have to understand that ayah in the light of this ayah. And there's no contradiction in the book of Allah. أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Allah says in the Quran, do they not reflect upon this Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, then they would have found much difference therein. They would have seen contradictions, but this is not the case. So there will be no contradiction in the book of Allah. So then you refer the nahnu to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ, and to the ayat where Allah refuted the Christians about, you know, Jesus being a God. You know, and you know these ayat in the Quran where Allah, you know, told them to stop saying Trinity. إِنْتَهُ لَا تَقُولُ ثَلَاثَ. إِنْتَهُ, do not say three. So these are ayat. Clear that Jesus, peace be upon him, was the messenger of Allah. He was not God, not the son of God, not part of God. So then, and يعني, with the same way we deal with that, you will deal with the rest of the things. There are foundation, there's a foundation which is the verses that are entirely clear, and others that are ambiguous. And the Prophet ﷺ said, be careful, beware of these people who will follow that. They will go for nahnu, and they will not go back to قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. And this is similar to those who I told you about that reject the hadith. They reject the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, so they will quote an ayah from the Quran. Allah نزل أحسن الحديث. Allah sent down the best hadith. So they say, this is an ayah. We say, يا أخي, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ, and obey Allah and obey His Messenger. How are you going to obey the Messenger if there's no sunnah? If they're going to tell you through the Quran, then وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ is sufficient. Because you will obey Allah through the Quran. It's sufficient. How are you going to do وَأَطِيعُوا الرَّسُولِ without a hadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You cannot do that. So this is an ayah muhkamah versus one that may have more than one interpretation. طيب. And he will strike an example. مثال ذلك إذا قال لك بعض المشركين ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. This is their favorite one. This is the ayah that is always used by those who are, you know, the great worshippers for backing up their actions. The ayah where Allah says, verily the awliya of Allah. The awliya is usually translated to the close friends, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His righteous servants. And we will understand that in the continuation of the ayah. What does the ayah after say about them? الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those who believe and have taqwa. So then anyone, any Muslim sitting in this masjid or elsewhere who believes in Allah properly with sound iman and has taqwa of Allah, he is a wali of Allah. This is who they are. Not the ones that they, you know, have their adriha around their graves, and the ones that they put on some nice fancy green carpet and people go do sujood to them besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are not necessarily the awliya. You could be the wali of Allah if you have iman and taqwa. طيب. So they will tell you, they will use this as an excuse. وَأَنَّ شَفَاعَةَ حَقٍّ وَأَنَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ لَهُمْ جَاهٌ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَوْ ذَكَرَ كَلَامًا لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَسْتَدِلُّ بِهِ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِنْ بَاطِنِهِ وَأَنْتَ لَا تَفْهَمُ مَعْنَى الْكَلَامِ الَّذِي ذَكَرَ. Or they will tell you, the mushrikeen, either they will use this ayah. Okay? They say the awliya of Allah. Did I translate that? Yeah. Verily the awliya of Allah, no fear shall be upon them, nor that shall they grieve. No fear, no grief. And the way the scholars interpreted, no fear in terms of what will happen in the future, and no grief over that which has already passed in the past life. So the awliya of Allah have this particular status. They will tell you, these are the awliya of Allah. Allah gave this, you know, He said that about them. Then they will say to you, furthermore, the anbiya, shafa'ah, intercession, is haqq, is true, isn't it? Don't we believe as Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah in the shafa'ah? We believe in the shafa'ah, the intercession. But the question is, what kind of intercession? When is that intercession going to be effective? Is it today through a dead person, or even a live person, or is there a shafa'ah that has to do with the Day of Judgment? This is where the discussion actually is elaborated upon. So then they will say, the shafa'ah is true. And the prophets, they have status, they have a high status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The status of the prophets are close to Allah. Or he will mention to you, the mushrik, some hadith, some statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which he's using this to back up his falsehood. And you may not understand what he's saying. You don't know what this guy is trying to explain to you, because you may not be familiar with his shubha, with his misconception, with his doubt. فجاوبه بقولك إن الله ذكر في كتابه أن الذين في قلوبهم زيغ يتركون المحكم ويتبعون المتشابه. When the things are of this nature, then you tell this person, listen, Allah says in the Quran that those who have sickness and disease in their heart and deviance, they will leave alone the entirely clear verses and they will follow the ambiguous. وما ذكرته لك من أن الله تعالى ذكر أن المشركين يقرون بالربوبية وأن كفرهم بتعلقهم على الملائكة والأنبياء والأولياء مع قولهم هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. Then you will say to him, and what I had mentioned to you already from the beginning of the book, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we had learned that the mushrikeen, they affirm the lordship of Allah. Remember the ayat, Surah Yunus and Surah Al-Mu'minun, right? قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Until the end of the ayat, say, who provides you from the heavens and the earth? سَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ They will say to you, Allah, the mushrikeen, they will say it is Allah. So you say, look, Allah said that in the Quran, that the mushrikeen affirm the rububiyyah, the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason why they were declared as kuffar is because of their attachment to the angels and the prophets and the righteous people. That connection that they wanted. And what did they say? Allah says in Surah Yunus, verse 18, they said, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ These are our intercessors with Allah. These angels and the prophets and the righteous people, these are our intercessors with Allah. Did that, now, and this was their hujjah. We believe in the lordship of Allah, and we're not worshipping them in a sense that they are the sustainers, providers. They are only intercessors with Allah for us. Did the Prophet ﷺ accept that from them? Did he accept that from them? No. Did he fight against them? He did. Did he declare them to be kuffar? Yes. That did not bring him into Islam. That acknowledgement that Allah told us about in the Quran, that they accepted Allah as the Lord, as Ar-Rabb, did not bring them into Islam. As long as they had these angels and the prophets and the righteous people as intercessors with Allah, then this is the element of disbelief. This is kufr. This is shirk. Setting up partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. هذا أمر محكم بين لا يقدر أحد أن يغير معناه. This is a clear and precise, decisive ruling. No one is able to change that. No one has the ability to change the meaning. It's clear like the sun. They affirmed that and they said, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ These are only our intercessors with Allah. This is what the mushrikeen were saying. وَمَا ذَكَرْتَ لِي أَيُّهَا الْمُشْرِكْ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ أَوْ كَلَامِ النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم لَا أَعْرِفُ مَعْنَاهُ As what you have said to me, O mushrik, from verses that you quoted from the Quran or statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then verily I do not understand what that means. ولكن أقطع أن كلام الله لا يتناقض. But I declare, without any doubt, I am sure that that Allah's speech is not contradictory. There's no contradiction in the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وأن كلام النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يخالف كلام الله عز وجل. And that the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم does not contradict the statements of Allah. So the Quran in and within itself, there's no contradiction in it. Then furthermore, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم will never contradict contradict something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? This is muhkam or not? Is this clear? If somebody has doubt about that, then we have to check, doubt this person's Islam. If you doubt that the Quran, if someone says believes the Quran has contradictions, he's belying Allah's statement in the Quran who said that the Quran does not have any contradictions. If someone believes that the Prophet ﷺ goes against the Quran and contradicts the Quran, then he believes the Prophet ﷺ did not really convey the message. That he betrayed the revelation given to him by Allah. And that's very dangerous. So no one will make this particular claim. So this is muhkam. This is fixed. وَهَذَا جَوَابٌ جَيِّدٌ سَدِيدٌ. This is a very good, strong refutation. This is a good answer you can give to this particular individual. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَفْهَمُهُ إِلَّا مَنْ وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فَلَا تَسْتَهِمْ بِهِ. But not everyone will understand that. You see, the only ones who will understand are those whom Allah has given success to understand. Inshallah, brothers like yourself. Inshallah ta'ala, brothers like ourselves, bi'idhnillah. Those whom Allah has given the success to understand is very clear concept. Very clear concept. Because some people, you tell them this, he will not believe you. He will think you're lying, or you're following another madhab, or you have your own deen. You know, you hear Muslims telling you today, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Subhanallah, this ayah deals with the kuffar, ya akhi. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. Say, oh, these believers, how are you going to tell me as your Muslim brother, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. What do we have? We have two Islam, three Islam, four Islam. So you hear some people, whenever you try to give them nasiha, advice, and they don't agree with you, he will say, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ. Say, Aki Allah Yahdeen. We have the same deed, me and you. You say this to the Hindu, Lakum Deenukum Wali Yahdeen. As for your Muslim brother, you don't make this particular expression. No, we may have differed about something, but we're still brothers in Islam. Unless he has left Islam or we have left Islam, wal'iyadu billah. So he said, do not belittle this. This strong argument, this ayah in Surah Al-Imran verse 7. I hope that inshallah some brothers will memorize it. Very short ayah. It's a strong reputation for any misconception. Anytime someone brings something you don't understand, say, listen, but let me go back to an ayah muhkama. A strong, clearly, clear ayah in the Quran, and this is my foundation. Anything else you bring, we will set it aside. Or we will understand it in the light of that ayah. فَإِنَّهُ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily it is, as Allah says in the Quran, none shall attain it, meaning that blessing of understanding, except those who are patient, and none will understand except those who have a great fortune, those who have been fortunate and blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be patient and to understand the ayat and the narrations according to their intent. It's not only understanding the Quran and the Sunnah according to the intent of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What was intended behind this ayah? And what was intended behind this hadith? This is the point that we want to understand. That is the point of difference between those who are guided and those who have deviated from the path. وَأَمَّا الْجَوَابُ الْمُفَصَّلِ فَإِنَّ أَعْدَاءَ اللَّهِ لَهُمْ اعْتِرَاضَاتٌ كَثِيرَةٌ عَلَى دِينِ الرُّسُلِ يَصُدُّونَ بِهَا النَّاسَ عَنْهِ. As for the detailed refutation and response, he said, verily the enemies of Allah have a lot of objections to the religion of the messengers, subhanAllah. A lot of objections to the religion of the messengers that they use to hinder the people from the path. They use this to keep the people away from, excuse me, from the path of the messengers that Allah has given. منها قولهم نحن لا نشرك بالله بل نشهد أنه لا يخلق ولا يرزق ولا ينفع ولا يضر إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. They will say to you, one of the grave worshippers, he says, look man, we don't associate any partners with Allah. We bear witness that none sustains and none provides and none creates and none benefits and none harms except Allah alone with no partners. They will tell you that. We believe that. Then they will say, وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا يَمْلِكُ لِنَفْسِهِ نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا فَضْلًا عَنْ عَبْدِ الْقَادِرِ أَوْ غَيْرُهُ. He says, then they will tell you, and that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not hold any benefit or harm either, let alone Abdul Qadir, one of their objects of worship, or any other shaykh who has passed away. ولكن أنا مذنب. But he will say to you, but I'm a sinner. I am a sinner. You know where we learn this from?
This is from the Christians, by the way. This is all Christian doctrine, Christian mentality, that they believe that they can, you know, because they're sinful, they cannot get to Allah, so Jesus had to be killed in order to pay for their sins as redemption, for them to be able to receive forgiveness because of their sinfulness. God had to get a son and get him killed and crucified for them, in order for them to be saved. This is where this mentality comes from. So he will tell you, the mushrik, I know Allah is the provider, sustainer, He's the one who benefits and harms. The Prophet ﷺ cannot benefit or harm either. But I am a sinner. لكن أنا مذنب. والصالحون لهم جاه عند الله. The righteous have a special status with Allah. The righteous people are close to Allah. وأطلب من الله بهم وأطلب من الله بهم. And I only am asking Allah through them. Pay attention. I'm not asking them. I don't tell him, hey, you know, give me a son. I ask him to ask Allah. I'm only using him as a middleman, as a, you know, link, someone who will usually make some profit from you. طيب. فجاوبه بما تقدم. How do you answer him? With everything that was mentioned earlier. We say, we go back to the same thing. This is the same thing that the mushrikeen were saying. هؤلاء شفعاؤنا عند الله. These are our intercessors with Allah. This is the same thing that they said. And this is an ayah that is muhkama. And you keep telling me this nonsense, and you're disregarding the condition of the disbelievers of Quraysh, and how Allah gave us their reality in the Quran. So this is how you tell them. This is the general response. وهو أن الذين قاتلهم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مقرون بما ذكرت ومقرون أن أوثانهم لا تدبر شيئا وإنما أرادوا الجاه والشفاعة. You tell him, verily the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم fought these people. He fought them for this mentality that we are only using these people in order to get to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Now, and they admit that which you mentioned earlier, and they know that these idols do not arrange or dispose any affairs. Their idols do not dispose the affairs. Verily, they only wanted that, they desired that nearness and that intercession with these particular idols. وَقْرَأْ عَلَيْهِ مَا ذَكَرَ اللَّهُ فِي كِتَابِهِ وَوَضِّحْهِ. Then recite upon him what Allah has mentioned in His book, the Quran, and clarify that for him, meaning the ayat dealing with the rububiyyah of Allah and how the disbelievers affirm that. فَإِنْ قَالَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْآيَاتِ نَزَلَتْ فِي مَنْ يَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ كَيْفَ تَجْعَلُونَ الصَّالِحِينَ مِنَ الْأَصْنَامِ أَمْ كَيْفَ تَجْعَلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ أَصْنَامًا. طيب. He will say to you, he may say to you, these ayat that you quoted to me from the Quran were revealed concerning idols, statues. So he will tell you, how are you treating the righteous people, man, like the statues? Or how would you treat the prophets of Allah like the statues? Now he's trying to bring you from another angle. So these ayat that you're quoting about the disbelievers of Quraysh were about the idols that they were worshipping. He will tell you, I'm not worshipping a statue. I'm going through this, you know, righteous man, unlike the statue. So they will try to make a distinction there. See how you deal with that. فَجَوَدْهُ بِمَا تَقَدَّمْ. First you reply with the المحكم, the clear things. فَأَنَّهُ إِذَا أَقَرَّ أَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ يَشْهَدُونَ بِالرُّبُوبِيَّةِ كُلِّهَا لِلَّهِ بِالرُّبُوبِيَّةِ كُلِّهَا لِلَّهِ وَأَنَّهُ مَا أَرَادُوا مِمَّنْ قَصَدُوا إِلَّا شَفَاعَةً. So if he affirm, if you affirm to him that the disbelievers, they bore witness and they affirmed the rububiyyah of Allah, and that the only thing that they were seeking with them was the intercession. ولكن أراد أن يفرق بين فعلهم وفعله بما ذكر. But then that mushrik, he wants to make a distinction between the actions of the disbelievers of Quraysh and his actions today. They are different. They're worshipping an idol, I'm worshipping a righteous man. Or he's not going to say, I'm worshipping a righteous man. He says, he's going to say, I'm worshipping Allah. فَذْكُرْ لَهُ أَنَّ الْكُفَّارَ مِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَدْعُ الْأَصْنَامِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَدْعُ الْأَوْلِيَاءَ الَّذِينَ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ. Now this is very fundamental. Then mention to him, وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامِ, that verily Allah said that the disbelievers, they were worshipping idols and worshipping righteous people. So then the ayat that were revealed include both. So now you're not different. Allah says in that, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ يَبْتَغُونَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمُ الْوَسِيلَةَ أَيُّهُمْ أَقْرَبُ. Surah Al-Isra, verse 57. Very fundamental. Those whom they are calling upon, Okay? Desire means of access to their Lord. So they may see who is closer to Him. Huh? Who is closer to Him? طيب. There's a very interesting thing in this ayah. The fact that it says, أُولَئِكَ. أُولَئِكَ is masculine plural. Masculine plural. The masculine plural is used for human beings. As for the statues, then you use the feminine plural. تِلْكَ الْأَصْنَامِ. If there were some idols right now, وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ outside, we would say, or in front of us, we would say, تِلْكَ الْأَصْنَامِ. تِلْكَ. Which is the feminine, because they are non-living things. But when you say أُولَئِكَ, unlike تِلْكَ, this refers to living things. So this ayah says أُولَئِكَ, meaning that includes those that they are worshipping living things, not only statues. And this is very sensitive, of course. I'm not the one who figured it out. I'm only quoting what the mashayikh have already explained to us. So don't think I'm that intelligent. But this is very fundamental then. It is that point right there. أُولَئِكَ. Pay attention between أُولَئِكَ and تِلْكَ. That's number one. وَيَدْعُونَ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ أُمَّهُ. And they call unto Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary and his mother. وَقَدْ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى مَا الْمَسِيحُ بْنُ مَرْيَمْ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةٌ كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامَ انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أنا يؤفكون. Then قل أتدعون من دون الله ما لا يملك لكم ضرا ولا نفعا والله هو السميع العليم. الله أكبر. These ayat are like a sword that you chop off anyone's falsehood with. Not the person, we don't want to kill anyone, but the falsehood that they may carry with this truth. Because here it proves that the people were worshipping human beings also, not only idols and statues. Allah says, verily the Messiah, the son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many messengers have come before him. Many messengers passed away before him. And his mother was a Siddiqa, like Abu Bakr Siddiq and Aisha radiallahu anha, the truthful ones. Those who knew the knowledge and they put it into practice. كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They used to eat food. Now, this is from the mu'jizat of the Qur'an. This ayah is from the miracles of the Qur'an. And you think that there's no significance. Can anyone tell me, except those who already know, who have heard this before, someone who never heard this before, what is the significance of Allah saying that Jesus and his mother, Maryam, used to eat food? Huh? They were humans. Oh, humans. Like, how does that help you? How does that help you in da'wah? For the Christians. See, the Christians, they believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is God incarnate. Meaning, yani the manifestation of God, as the Hindus. They have different gods, you know, manifestation of God in that particular object. The Christians believe that Jesus, some of the denominations that is, Jesus is God. Okay? And so they, when Allah says, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ, they used to eat food. Now, that ayah is trying to indicate something else that the Quran didn't mention because of the eloquence. Which is what? When you eat, what do you do later? You go to the WC, restroom, call it whatever you want to call it. Isn't that the way? Is there an exception to the rule? Unless you don't have a digestive system, then you will die. Right? Any human being that has a digestive system, this is a natural consequence. You eat, you will go to the bathroom. So when Allah said that Jesus and his mother Mary used to eat food, that means that they used to go to the bathroom. Then you tell the Christian, are you telling me that God used to go to the bathroom? You see what it's trying to prove? Because by saying this is blasphemy, this is cursing God. When you say to the Christian, you tell him that, if you give da'wah to the Christians, when you say that God went to the bathroom, then this is no longer God. Because when we speak of God, we speak of the perfection, right? The glorification, the majesty of God. What do you mean God went to the bathroom? A'udhu billah. This is unacceptable in any religion for you to say that. So Allah says, كَانَا يَأْكُلَانِ الطَّعَامِ. They used to eat food. An indication that they had, as the brother mentioned, زَلَّ خَيْرًا, they're human beings.
they have the same needs. They needed to eat, they needed to drink, and so they did what people do after they eat and drink. How can you say this is a god? How can this be a god or the son of God? You know, this is shirk, this is kufr. And so you may use this in your da'wah expeditions. So this is what Allah says in the continuation of the ayah. Look how we make the signs clear for them. Then look how they are deluded and they turn away. After the signs are made clear for them, subhanAllah, they still turn away from the truth and they reject that. Then Allah says in the following ayah, to confirm that understanding, say, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to them, do you worship atta'budun? Do you worship besides Allah that which has no harm or benefit for you? And Allah is the all-hearing, all-seeing, the all-hearing, all-knowing. So Allah said, after He mentioned what the people do with Isa and Maryam, He said, قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. Say, do you worship besides Allah? Indicating that the disbelievers were worshipping statues and prophets and righteous people. Maryam wasn't a prophet because there's never been a female prophet. Okay? She was a Siddiqa radiallahu anha, and this is the highest status that a woman may receive. So she's a righteous woman that they were worshipping. And Christians today worship her. The Catholic Christians in particular, they worship Mary and they call her Mary, the Mother of God. You think people of Allah are on vacation. If you did not have belief from Allah, you would think people are crazy. What do you mean the Mother of God? How is God the one who brought everything into existence? How can He have a mother? You know? But these people really believe this. And when you deal with the Christians, you realize that they are one of the most ignorant people on this planet. They don't know what's going on. So it's very important, and usually this is why it's easy to bring them to Islam. From all the religions in the world, most people who revert to Islam are the Christians. Because they don't know anything. And so when you give them the beauty of Islam and the Tawheed, it makes sense. Because the average Christian does not know what he believes. He does not know what the Father is a God. He does not know what's going on. It's all just rituals. They go to the church just for habit, not because they really believe. So you know, inshallah, this will encourage you to invite more Christians to Islam, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal. Tayyib, the ayat continue, but I will not deal with them right now, inshallah. But this is for now, just to summarize, then this is the way we deal with that. You first have to understand the ayah in Surah Al-Imran, verse 7, which is the idea of the clear, entirely clear ayah versus the ambiguous, and how every time someone presents to you something ambiguous, you take him back to the ayat al-muhkamat. This is mujmal, general refutation. Specific refutation, you will prove to them from the Quran that the disbelievers were worshipping statues and idols and living people, whether alive or dead. And so now there's no difference between you and them. If they say we're not worshipping them, we're only seeking intercession, Allah says, هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاءُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. They will say, these are our intercessors with Allah. So you are the same. Actually, as it will come in the book, the mushrikeen of today are worse. They are worse than the ones back then. Because Allah described them back then that during the time of ease, they would worship their statues. And during the time of hardship, they call unto Allah alone. Today, the mushrikeen of today, they call unto their dead people during the time of ease and during the time of hardship. So now the disbelievers of Quraysh are a step ahead. And that shows you how dangerous this reality is. How dangerous it is for a Muslim to go to the grave thinking that the dead person is able to benefit him in any way, shape or form. Wallahi, he needs you. He needs you to say, Allahumma aghfir lah, Allahumma arham. Oh Allah, forgive him, Allah, have mercy on him. He needs you. Whoever he is, he needs your dua. But you don't need anything from him. You have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, we don't want to worship anyone but Allah. What do you want? Why would you call unto a creation of Allah? When Allah says, قَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord said, call unto me, I will respond to you. After Allah tells you that, you go to someone else. He tells you, go directly to me, and you go through the intermediaries. This is deviance and misguidance. And this is what we must understand in the right context. So with that, inshallah, we will conclude this particular dars. And looking forward, inshallah, to next week, because we will give more ayat that maybe some of the brothers want to memorize. Now, whoever memorizes Surah the ayah in Surah Al-Imran and the one in Surah Al-Isra, that's verse 57, and the one in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 75 and 76. I know this is tough, a lot of memorization, but you will get a gift inshallah next week. A gift that you may like, you may not like, it's up to you. But the offer is there. Any one of the older generation, younger generation, medium generation, whatever generation you are, you know, if you memorize these ayat, you'll get a gift inshallah that you can use for da'wah. You could, you know, benefit from it. Maybe it would be means for you to, you know, you never know. Allahu A'lam. We'll leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, look, this will be done next week. Furthermore, I have one more announcement to make. By the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of the lectures that were conducted at the International Medical Center, I know many of the brothers wanted to come, but they were unable to come because conflicts with their jobs, or they're tired, or any other reason. Alhamdulillah, the Da'wah Center, by the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has published them officially on DVDs. In a way where each two lectures that are close in the subject are on one DVD. And so we have a number of subjects, so around five DVDs with 10 subjects. Each DVD has two, one dealing with Iman and Tawbah. You know, Iman going up and down, how to repent to Allah. Another one dealing with Allah, where's Allah, and knowing the names and attributes of Allah on one DVD. A third one dealing with the conditions of La ilaha illallah and the conditions of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The fourth one is dealing with the righteous predecessors and strictly following the sunnah versus the religion is easy. And the last one is strictly for the Christians. Commonalities and differences between Islamic Christianity. And the other lecture on the DVD is, yes, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus, who will Messiah? And this is, yani, we try to use this as a foundation to bring them closer to Islam. These DVDs are available. If anyone is interested in acquiring some, then you may speak to me inshallah, and we will arrange that. They're very affordable. I'm not going to mention the price because the asal is that you don't speak about business in the masjid. But I got a fatwa from the students of knowledge, from Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, announcing it. There's nothing wrong with that. Just to make an announcement, as long as I'm not selling you this stuff over here. If you're interested, the money is not going to go to me. Okay, I'm not trying to make any money from this. This is for the Da'wah Center. You know, they just use the money to reproduce them and make some more copies. That's it. So if anyone is interested, you may email me actually at onewaytoparadise@gmail.com. And you can tell me which one you want to order, and we can arrange, you know, the pickup and delivery and everything probably this outside the masjid inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.